You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast, but before we get started, I wanted to tell you about an exciting opportunity for you and the leaders you know this fall, the Pipeline Conference. Our team, the Lifeway Leadership Team, is hosting Pipeline on October 13 in Nashville. And it's a conference unlike others you've probably been to because it's a training conference, an event that will show you and your church leadership team how to launch a leadership pipeline. You'll hear from speakers such as Tom Rayner, Eric Geiger, Kerry Newhoff, and Paul Tripp. We'll have plenary sessions interspersed with shorter, practical TED-style talks. We'll have Q&As with the speakers to clarify and apply what was said, and we'll also offer a second day built around coaching and implementation that will have limited seating. And we really want you to join us. Go to myleadershippipeline.com to learn more and to register. Pricing is affordable, and we're offering an early bird discount through the end of July, so you want to move quickly. Again, go to myleadershippipeline.com for more information and to register. We look forward to seeing you there. Enjoy the podcast. Welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper, here as usual with Todd Adkins.
What?
Todd is the director of leadership here at Lifeway.
Well, that was so wild right there.
It's a consistent thing. He brings it consistently.
He brings the what?
That's right. And the third voice you hear, somebody probably recognize, that is Eric Geiger, the vice president.
What? I don't even know what that means.
Of our resources division. And both of these guys are my bosses. Eric is Todd's boss.
This is a dangerous podcast.
And Eric
right
has
here.
A boss named Dr. Tom Rayner. And today we
I call him Boss Daddy.
I thought I called you Boss
Daddy. No, that's right. You call me Boss Daddy. I call him Boss Man.
All right.
So Boss Daddies and Boss Men are the subject of today's podcast. Specifically, working for bosses you do not like. Mm. So we are walking on thin ice potentially here. Now, yeah. Eric and Todd seem to get along, but we don't know what underlying tensions there are, what happens behind closed doors, what's under the surface, what
there's
might boil
really
up
nothing,
here.
There's really nothing that is not surfaced in our relationship. I'm
not concerned at all about Todd, you know, doing passive aggressive statements during this. I had a boss one time
whose name rhymed with Merrick yeah. Myber.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Todd being passive aggressive. He's straight up. He won't be passive aggressive.
That's right. So, bosses you don't like, I think everybody has probably had one. If you haven't, just keep working for a little while. You will. None of us at the table currently have one of those, which is why this is a safe topic. But let's jump into our 5 questions. And the first one is, have you ever worked under someone you don't like? And if so, do tell.
Yes.
Without dropping names and being gossipy, of course.
No. I early on in ministry, was at a church, senior pastor position changed, new guy. He, first of all, didn't have a relationship with me, so he didn't care. He just wanted me to do X, Y, or Z. And frankly, he was a liar.
Wow. That's problematic.
And that's not...
Yeah, that to me, that's a horrible
boss trait.
We'll file that one away for yeah. question 3.
Yeah, don't lie. That's good. So
or question 2.
I think about there's someone you don't like, I actually kind of put people into three different categories, and I think things are really, really healthy relationally when all three are there. So trust, respect, and like. So mm-hmm. what you're saying is when someone lies, you don't trust the person, no. right? So trust to me is often about character. Mm-hmm. Respect is often about competence. Like, I respect this person. This person is a competent leader. And then like is someone that I want to, I enjoy being with. So I've had leaders that I trust and respect, but don't necessarily, not someone I would enjoy hanging out with as much.
Right.
I can follow that person, even if I don't, when I'm using the term like here, I just.
Like you're not buddies.
Yeah, I'm not buddies. But not buddies. Now, things are obviously at the best relationally with your boss when you mm-hmm. when you respect the person, you trust the person, you trust their character, you trust their heart, and you like them. I mean, and I'm very blessed right now to have a team where I think all three are there, respect, trust, and like. But I can get through a season of not liking my leader, my boss, if I trust my leader and respect
right.
my leader.
Well, because if you have trust and respect, liking is more just a matter of personalities meshing. If the trust or the respect is there, then disliking is more like there's antagonism there. As yeah. opposed to we don't click, it's more like right. I do not want to be around that person, and that's a different vibe
Man,
altogether.
When you don't trust the person, that means the implications of that.
Right.
So then that means you don't trust the direction we're going.
Right.
You don't. when you don't respect the person, that means you don't feel like this person is going to be able to actually get us to the direction that we're going.
Yeah.
So the trust and respect issues, they leave a litany of ramifications in their wake.
Yeah.
Right. If I just don't like the person, and I say that as if there's a whole lot of people I don't like, which isn't true.
you keep a list.
Which isn't true. But, you know
did
what I mean? When
things just,
when they don't, you just have different personalities and there's different,
right.
You can overcome a dislike issue. A lack of trust, like Todd, you mentioned, my pastor was a liar. You're not going to be able to overcome that.
Yeah.
No.
You're not going to be able to.
I mean, you may even like, it's really hard to respect them if you don't trust them as well. So right. I don't know. How
so
that you stuff use works.
It, so then trust could be the basis.
Trust is probably the basis for me. I mean, you know, I've worked with I've worked with people that are too political. Like,
you mean internal politics, yeah. not vote for this person, but they constantly are positioning and posturing for some kind of takeover or land grab.
And, they are. Yep. And working with someone like that when you're younger and more impressionable, and if you have a penchant for one of the things I would say that I'm able to do well is see an organization or systems and how they come together and that other people may not see. So if you're around someone who also does that, but then uses that.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to.
Political and manipulative are really close.
Yep.
They are. And so it's really hard.
That's a trust issue as well.
I mean, I'll throw that matzo ball out there. Yeah. That's something that as a leader, I'm aware that I'm vulnerable to.
Yeah. If you see things that other people don't see and how an organization works or where loopholes are, yeah, you are set up to potentially be manipulative.
There's a fine
and exploit
line between
them. Yeah.
Savvy and manipulative.
So when you and Pete were talking, not joking. I don't know who you're referring to. I just thought that'd be funny.
Well, I've had a couple bosses who I didn't especially like working under. One of them I did trust and respect for a while until that just sort of deteriorated. But even then, I trusted his motives, but I didn't trust his judgment, if mm-hmm. that makes
yep,
sense.
Yeah, it does.
And so, that became a pretty fractured working relationship. I had another boss, and this was a short-lived job, probably 18 months I was there, who was just a tyrant. I mean, everybody feared when he would come in the office. So he kind of, he ran two or three different companies. And when he showed up at the one that I worked at, like, it was literally like, boss is coming, boss is coming.
He just came to kick tail.
Yeah, he just, and he.
I've seen people like that.
He never said, he never said a positive word. And you know, just, it was a poisonous situation. And the culture at the office when, you know, was all very backstabbing and everything like that, because again, the leadership trickle down effect of he left a vacuum of, mm-hmm. For attitudes to be built and nobody liked each other. And it was pretty, pretty poisonous. Well, but, go ahead, Ton.
I was going to say, I think that sets up the second question really well, but I don't want to interrupt you.
That's exactly where I was going. So lead off.
Okay. Which is what traits or habits make a boss the most difficult to work for?
And we've touched on lying. Lying makes a boss very hard to work for.
Yeah,
lying, political,
manipulative.
You have bully, I think.
Yeah.
Bully would be yours.
Tyrant, bully. I think for me, just we did a podcast on this a little while back, just micromanaging, being in your business and constantly telling you how to do things or nitpicking things that you do. Now, some of that's a work style thing. I like being told a goal and some parameters and being left alone to do things. Some people might like more step-by-step management, but I don't like being corrected every step of the way. You like step-by-step management? Is that what you're saying?
No. I was raising my hand because I thought Todd looked like he was about to speak. And I was like, it's my turn. It's my turn.
Okay, good.
I was like, that would have surprised me if you said you liked.
Todd was like already, it was coming out of his mouth. I wanted to say, I agree in the character and I agree on the micromanage, especially if the person has displayed competency. So if the person is a proven leader that doesn't need to be micromanaged, doesn't need that level of management. It's very different from someone who's brand new and hasn't displayed competence at this point. The other to me that is really difficult to work for is a boss or a leader who is always changing directions. who is inconsistent in strategy. I've heard people say this. This is kind of where we're headed now, but who knows? The boss may get another email, you know, almost like, or may read another book, or may have an article forwarded to him or her. Essentially, what that means is we kind of think we're going in this direction, mm-hmm. but things always change around here, which that doesn't allow the team to get into a rhythm of execution and moving in the same direction. And so when a boss is just constantly shifting, constantly changing direction, and never allowing any of the former ideas to actually bear fruit,
right?
They never come to fruition. It's really, really frustrating for people to work for a boss like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think if a boss decides to incorporate new ideas, they have to be building on what is consistent as opposed to changing what is there currently constantly. You mentioned when we were answering the first question, Eric, that trust was a really big deal. It's very hard to work for a boss who doesn't trust you or who doesn't trust anybody.
Mutual trust, yes.
You know, so one of the bosses I mentioned who I had a difficult time working under, I came to realize that he simply never trusted anything I did. And so I would have responsibility. You know, he'd give me a task, but then he would constantly be busting my
timesheet guy.
What's that?
This timesheet guy.
Oh, I forgot about him. No, that was a different one.
I will add one more type of boss that I would say makes a person difficult to work for, and that is the BFF. The guy that wants to be your best friend.
There's no delineation between personal relationship and work relationship. Yeah. Or he doesn't see any, or she doesn't see any. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's personally difficult for me because of my personality type, and it's also difficult because it's like it gets really tricky. Now I will say this, when I've worked at a churches, I've often been in like a small group with people that work for me. I have this weekend, you know, we have a couple coming to stay with us that. She worked for me. She was our small groups person, but you know, we were also really tight with their family. Like we did life together. We still do life together, even though we don't even live in the same cities. We still, you know, meet with each other. So I'm not saying that you can't have personal relationships. I'm saying when I say BFF, I mean a guy that really wants to be your friend and not anything else.
Yeah.
It's just kind of shallow.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think there's one other trait comes to mind, and that's just the simple, like, what is there? There's a book. The No A-Holes Rule. I believe you recommended it on this podcast at one time.
That is the title.
Eric.
It's actually it was a research-based book that effective companies get rid of jerks. They don't allow jerks to stay and corrupt their culture.
And so everything we've touched on is like a work-related aspect of that, but there are just some people who are jerks. They simply think they're better than everybody else. They have no emotional intelligence. They're just not very kind. Those people are miserable to work for. And this is not just in the business world. They end up in ministerial positions too, in some strange way. So I would just add that one because I think sometimes you're trying to sit here and categorize, why is this person so hard to work for? And the bottom line is they're just a jerk. So that makes it very difficult to work for somebody.
But the fourth question is, how do you know though, if it's your boss's problem or if it's your problem?
Which is, and that one's here because it's very easy to start shoving blame off and be like, they're just such a jerk. I don't like them. I don't like working for the man.
The man is trying to keep me down.
Well, it's super, leadership's easy to knock.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It really is. And so leadership's been corrupted, just like everything else has been corrupted. But often we hate, sin is what corrupts leadership. Leadership by itself is a God-given
role.
I mean, God created Adam and Eve in the garden and gave them leadership, stewardship, mm-hmm. responsibility over creation. Sin corrupted that leadership, but oftentimes we hate the leadership instead of hating the sin that corrupts. Same thing with work, right? Work is not unholy and unspiritual. Work was given before the fall, and instead of hating the sin, we hate work. And that's the wrong way to look at it. So, you know, how do you know if the problem is you or the leader? I'd say look for common denominator.
Yeah.
You know, what's the common denominator? If you throughout your whole
If you dislike most bosses, it's probably you.
If the common denominator is you, it's you. You're the problem.
Yeah.
If you have 20 years of track records of having great relationships with your supervisor, with your boss, and then it's all of a sudden things are really, really bad, then I would wonder, okay, what's going on here with me and my supervisor? Is it a respect issue, a trust issue, or just a like issue? And if it's a like issue, just know internally that you know my personality, our personalities just don't jive. I wouldn't be quick to bolt over a personality issue. It's the trust and the respect issues that.
And if it's a personality issue, if you move on to another position, you can probably do that in an amenable fashion because there's nothing negative about the character of the person. Yeah. You just didn't.
If it's
click.
A personality issue, it's your problem.
As the one being led.
I mean, to answer the question, how do you know if it's your problem or the boss's problem? If it's a personality issue. That just kind of rubs you the wrong way. It's your problem. Unless
you could still over time, I wouldn't like bolt the next day, but you could say, hey, for the long run, I think I'm probably going to enjoy working with somebody else.
Totally. Yeah.
But you don't leave and or move into a different position in a sour way or a divisive way at all. Right. I mean,
ideally not.
No, And I would say, again, if you look at your peers and see if your peers are having those same personality issues with your boss, it may be more than personality. Or it may be that is a toxic personality and you need to bolt.
I think one thing that comes to mind for me, because I know that my inclination is always to blame another person first before self-examination. I don't know if that's just a human trait or if it's a personality trait.
I think it's your sin.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. Blaming me. That's good. but the idea that, I mean, the Bible says, if as much as it is up to you, be at peace with all men. And so as much as it is up to you means you go to every length you can think of to solve the problem, to, you know, cross the bridges, build the bridges, whatever it is. And then if it's still like you just can't come to a peaceful relationship, but you have a clean conscience about all the things you've done to build that relationship, then it might be a situation where you try to peaceably again move on to a better spot.
Yep.
Because then it may be their sin or, again, just their wiring being different than yours.
And a question I'd ask is, can you actually follow someone?
Yeah.
Can you follow someone? And what if you were confronted with this? The people that you're going to lead are going to show you the same trust and the same respect and this give you the same opportunity to lead as you're giving your leader.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what if everyone treated you the way you are treating your leader, the way you're talking about your leader, the way that you're giving your leader an opportunity to win and to succeed? You reap what you sow.
Yes.
So this is it's a good character test for me on, can I follow someone? Am I able to submit to someone's authority? The scripture, you know, teaches submit to one another. As we submit to Christ, you know, there's this mutual submission in the body of Christ. So is my character such that I can follow someone? And I think it was, I forgot who said it.
That's probably me.
So I was going to say,
or Ben Franklin.
I was gonna say you were Socrates, but one and the same.
Possibly Teddy Roosevelt.
You can't lead unless you first can follow.
Right.
You know, you can't really be a great leader if you're not first a great.
Yeah, I think that was more like a Greek philosopher, not you, Todd. Sorry.
Probably.
But you may have claimed it on Twitter.
No, that's not me. I'm not that guy.
So that was our third question. Let's hit our fourth. So this is just as people are moving into a new position, considering a new position, are there warning signs a person can look for during their hiring process to avoid getting stuck with a boss they don't like?
So if a boss is about to hire you, that boss is wise to find out your history,
right?
Your references, see what kind of person you've been, what kind of team member you've been. I think you're wise to do the same for a leader you're going to go work for. So you do some digging on the leader. You find out who's worked for this leader in the past, what it's like to work for this leader, what this leader's track record is in terms of building a team, in terms of moving in a clear direction and taking people somewhere. Don't just get interviewed, interview your leader.
Yeah.
That was my answer to this is ask situational questions. You know, ask them about times where there have been conflict on their team or how they handled it. I mean, ask them about stuff that okay, you know that if you're a leader, you've dealt with this type of issue or that right. type of issue, and ask them poignant questions, because the story they tell will tell you a lot about them. And as Eric said, you know, Google them, look at their social, see if they're toxic.
Yeah. But also ask for some people that worked for them in the past. Hey, can you give me a list of some names?
Ask
of people
them who for were, references.
Yeah, get references on the person.
And it would be a bit of a warning sign if they declined to do that. And if they were quick to do that and just say, oh yeah, here, I'll send you some, and they do, that is probably an indication that you're working for somebody who has a certain level of humility, as well as a certain level of confidence that the teams that we've had here over the years have been healthy teams, and people are going to say, they might point out my flaws, but they're going to speak generally positively. So just their response to that question is a good indicator, I would think.
Well, and the fact if they're willing to answer your questions.
Yeah.
If they've made enough time in the interview for that, yeah. or if it's just like, can I ask you a few questions?
No, I would be reluctant to work for anybody who stuck to a very formal interview process, as opposed to sort of opening the door at any point to say, do you have any questions for me? Anything you need to know? Sort of go into a more personal conversation about you, your family.
Channel. You're just being used as
you're filling a spot. Right. Yep, you're filling a spot as opposed to, we're going to have a relationship and we're going to tackle some big problems together. We're going to be on mission together. So if the interview process has no relational bent to it at all, I'd be very careful.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's hit our fifth one. So I'm sure we have some listeners who are in this position currently. They are working under somebody who is just not their favorite. No, I'm not making side eyes at Todd right now. What are the best ways to keep positive and stay motivated when your boss is difficult?
The mission is bigger than the person. And so hopefully you're in a role in which you really believe in what you're doing. Obviously, man, the best days are when you love both the what and the who.
Right.
Like, here's what we're doing and here's who I'm doing it with. But if you're in a situation where you're not particularly excited about the who you're alongside, then that's really when you have to throw yourself into just the what.
Yes.
Here's what I'm doing. And then even more than that, here's why. Here's why I'm doing this. Ultimately, as a believer, I am motivated by a greater boss.
By a greater who.
A greater boss that I'm ultimately working for. So you really have to preach that truth to yourself. You have to remind yourself that the mission is bigger than the person, and that I work for the ultimate person. I work for the Lord. I work for Christ. And then the other, and this is often more painful, but true, realize that really God's ultimately caring about your sanctification in this. He really, more than he's caring about what you're getting done, he's caring about who you're becoming. And you look at James 1, 1 Peter 1, you really have the welcome trials with pure joy, because they develop you and they mature you. So working for a poor leader, working for even a leader you don't trust and respect, there is some sanctification that is going on there. And so you want to look for what's God doing in me through this? What's he doing in me through this? That's going to prepare me for the next run of ministry or the next run of leadership that I have.
Man, I don't like doing this with Eric, because he like takes the good, really good. I mean, my two notes are, remember who you're working for, which is
that was really awkward how you just said that.
Okay.
That was like the Sunday school.
It's like you were making fun of me.
The answer is
you were either
Jesus.
Making fun of me or
wait
making
a second,
fun of yourself.
Or possibly making fun of a biblical truth.
Yeah, exactly.
Heretic.
Well, I lost the second one.
You have notes, supposedly. Look at them.
I do have notes. Okay, so it was, remember who you're working for, first of all. And then always remember that God is more concerned with who you are and who you're becoming than what you're doing.
No, but you said it more succinctly than I did. That's really good.
Todd's good at one-liners. He's very good at taking a concept.
He's good at 140 characters or less.
I would say one other thing, just in terms of if you're in a position that's especially difficult, I don't think it's realistic to bind yourself to that in perpetuity, but to put a time limit and say, I am going to devote myself to what you guys just said. So those perspectives, focusing on my own relationship with the Lord, my work before the Lord, for a certain amount of time, a year, 2 years, whatever it is. You give it enough time. You don't just say till the end of the month. But if things have not improved in 12 months, 18 months, 24 months, then I will begin to look elsewhere. But if you just sort of look and you're just like, the horizon is forever away and I just have to do this forever, that it's hard to remain hopeful in that context. So putting a time frame on it can be very helpful.
Time frame is very helpful. I would say, ultimately, I've talked to some guys who I'm like, dude, you're a leader in your family. Ultimately, you have a responsibility to provide for your family. So I don't care if you don't like something. Ultimately, you cannot make a move until
you're prepared. You should always go to somewhere, not just from somewhere. If you jump ship, you're probably shirking responsibilities before God, before your family, before yourself.
Everybody. That's my only caveat.
Agree, because even when you leave, it's so much better when you are talking about where you're going to and not just what you're leaving. And so we talked before about the push and the pull. So there is going to be some push whenever you leave a role, because no role is perfect. No situation is perfect. And so there's going to be some things in every context that you don't like, but if you don't want to talk about those things, you want to talk about how exciting this new opportunity is.
Right.
So if you bolt before you have this exciting new opportunity, you'd lose the privilege usually to talk about the pull, and you're only talking about the push. And then, you know, you can only do that a couple times. You burn bridges. Like, realize if you do that now, and then you do that again next time, then other people start looking at you.
It's back to the common denominator.
You look like the common denominator. You are the common denominator. Yep.
And so, I would say, also related to this, one final point before we wrap this thing up is just comparing is not a way to stay hopeful. So if you're looking around at that other team has a better boss, or my brother has a better job, or the job that I would like to have sure seems better, that sort of stuff is going to suck all the happiness out of your work on a day-to-day basis and make you hate your boss more. So don't compare.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we said some helpful things. I think we said some stuff that hopefully will encourage somebody who's currently working for
Boss. Stick with it. You're being sanctified.
That's right.
It's not fun.
It's not. But you will end up in a better place if you keep a good attitude. So, so listeners, thanks so much for tuning in again. Jump on iTunes, leave us a rating and review. We always ask for that. It actually does mean something. It's not just to scratch our backs, although we do like that too. As well. Yeah, we like. I mean, not an actual back scratch. That's a little awkward. We don't know you.
Very awkward.
But a virtual back scratch would be great. So jump on iTunes, leave us that rating and review. Thanks so much for listening, and tune in next time.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. As you go, don't forget to visit myleadershippipeline.com to learn more about our upcoming Pipeline conference. It will be on October 13th in Nashville, Tennessee, and early bird pricing runs through July, so move quickly to register. Again, that website is myleadershippipeline.com. We look forward to seeing you there.